Okay. Hebrews 6. And how many of you did your homework from last week? Nobody did your homework. Tracy did your homework. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Does anybody remember what the homework assignment was?
Nope.
Tracy remembers. Does this sound familiar? Frontier? And
bye-bye.
Right? And the whole frontier idea and spirit, and how does that relate to the church today? Tracy, since you're the only one who did your homework, you want to share with us any thoughts that you came up with on that?
I was thinking that, you know, when you're exploring, you look over everything, and then you decide where you want to settle and where you will fit in.
Okay.
And as a church, we tend to do the same thing instead of keep exploring. Like
okay. All right. Good point. Right. Okay. Any other thoughts on that at all? Remember, we were discussing the whole idea of the frontier of America. You know, when America first, you know, started growing and people were moving westward and exploring and finding out what's, you know, here, and then they get to the west coast and it's like the whole country has been settled, the whole country has been explored, where else do we go? And we just tend to get settled in after that. The situation with churches is that they are oftentimes like those early settlers, and then what Tracy just pointed out, in a lot of ways like those pioneers who lost the pioneering spirit. Okay, they've lost a lot of times the ability to dream dreams and take risks. You know, dreaming is a big part of the pioneering spirit, isn't it? You know, what's on the other side of that mountain or on the other side of this forest, and just kind of dreaming and thinking, when we get there, you know, here's what the promises are, here's what the ideas, the possibilities, and so forth. And then willing to take the risks to accomplish and to achieve those dreams, right? And as Tracy pointed out, content with where they are, they have no desire to go beyond their comfort zone. Churches just tend to kind of get settled in. All right? Many churches run a course like many social movements in this particular pattern. All right? There's this pattern. If you look at different movements and so forth, there is the man, then a movement, then a monument. Okay? The man is the pioneer who spurred the people on with an authentic sense of adventure. That's the idea person, the one that says, hey, let's go westward, you see? Then comes the movement, and that is the powerful thrust of action, but oftentimes lacking in resources to sustain itself. In other words, it goes to a certain point, right, and then just kind of fizzles out. And then the final stage of that is, when it can no longer sustain itself, then the monument is made to remind people of what once was. Okay? And this particular comment is that many churches are in the monument stage instead of the pioneering stage. Okay? I think that it's up to every church, and since this is ours, okay, we have to decide where we are. Which stage are we in? Are we in the pioneering stage? Okay, where there's all this excitement and adventure and all those kind of things. Are we in the movement or the monument stage? Just kind of content to sit back.
Well, I'm thinking it's
not so much fun in it. Well, it's as it is for money, because that's why churches get all excited when people stop coming, because money stops coming in to support them. And so they'd rather stay at home, the church itself, and then the church is closed, or they change all their rules from the scripture to bring them in so that we'll be more entertaining, not so much studying the word for what it is. So I don't see a monument as far as, maybe I'm not understanding what monument is, making someone special?
Well, the monument stage really is just the idea of that the movement is kind of stopped.
Right.
You know, we're not really doing anything. So what we're really resting on is the memories that we have. You know, we focus all on the past and look at all these great things that we've done and where we've come from, and but we're not really doing anything to keep moving. Right. That's kind of the monument stages. We're just kind of settled in stagnant, just kind of, you know, remembering all the things that we did to get here, but not doing anything more.
And the young people aren't catching on either. They're too busy doing their own.
And, you know, you're right in the idea of the money situation is one that really drives a lot of churches. And what happens is that people, when money sometimes becomes a problem, you know, when congregations start to dwindle a little bit, you know, you can't get contributions if you don't have money, don't have people. And so then churches, as you indicated, we'll start compromising on the truth in order to draw people in. Okay? But here's something to think about. Let me challenge you with this thought. Is it really a problem with money? Or is it a problem with faith?
Oh, definitely.
You see, God doesn't have a problem with money. Okay? It's a problem, I think, when we don't have enough faith in God to trust Him to provide what it is that we need to do what it is He wants us to do. See, I'm convinced that if God has given us something to do, He will give us the resources to do what He calls upon us to do. So it's not, you know, again, churches tend to look at it and go, well, yeah, we'd like to do that, but we don't have enough money. Again, the question is not whether we have money. The question is, do we have enough faith? If this is something God wants us to be doing, then let's just do it, and trusting and having faith that God will provide what we need in order to make that happen. And so if people within a congregation are not thinking in terms of faith, and when it comes to giving, for instance, then, you know, it's that look in my checkbook and see how much money I have left, and, you know, and what do I still need to pay, and all these other things, and then decide from there, okay, well, maybe I can give this much this time or whatever, rather than, and see, that's really backward thinking, because what we're doing is we're giving to God last, okay? If I got enough left over, then I'll give to God. Whereas what God has always called upon His people to do is to have faith in Him and to do what? Give first fruits, right? You give to Him first, and the whole premise of that is with a belief, that's why I say it's a faith problem, that God is going to provide the rest of the harvest.
Yeah.
Okay? That's really the basis of what the Israelites were commanded in terms of giving in the Old Testament times, you see? And so when we lack faith, then we're going to kind of hold back and go, well, I got this bill, I got that to do, whatever. And we get that all backwards, you see? And when church leadership looks at things and says, yeah, we'd like to do this, but we don't have the money to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, again, is it something that we need to be doing that God would call us on to do? Mm-hmm. And do we have the faith to go ahead and do it, you see? So that's why I say it's not as much a money problem as it is a faith problem. Okay, Chuck, you had your hand up there.
Well, something to consider for all of us is: are we here to serve the Lord or to be served? We tend to get it backwards. And so we're only here because I want blessings from God. In other words, obviously bad thinking. And that's not how God operates.
Yeah.
And so that's something we have to do a self-assessment. That, again, why are we here? We're here to serve the Lord.
Right.
And in serving the Lord, I can't help but think that your faith will grow.
Yeah, and let me go back for just a second to say something else about, you know, in terms of, you know, the money and so forth. Again, it's an issue of faith because, you know, just take our congregation, for example. You think about all the people that we have in this congregation, okay, and how many of them are not here, they're not coming, they're not contributing. And why is that? Because they have faith problems, mm-hmm. Okay? And whether it's, well, I just don't get anything out of going to church, whether it's, you know, I don't like the preacher, or whether it's, you know, somebody said something that upset me, whatever excuse Satan has provided, people are using. Okay? And then I think, like, our situation where we are right now comes down to that we have the faithful, okay, the ones who are doing everything they can to help support financially the church, but, you know, there's a limited number of people, and so that can only go but so far, all right? And so part of the issue, in my opinion, has to do with a lot of people that just aren't, they're not serving, okay? They're not participating. They're not here to you know, they show up every now and then, you know, one Sunday a month or whatever. Even when they do show up, they, you know, maybe drop a few dollars in the collection basket and think that that's enough. And you know, I really think that's a big part of where we are right now as a church. We've got a core, which is right here, okay? But this core can only sustain so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay? And so it's really a matter of trying to get more of those people who are supposed to be part of this congregation to start stepping up and doing what they need to be doing. See? And that's part of this whole pioneering thing. We have people that, yeah, one time they were excited about the church and about the Lord and so forth, but you know, they've just kind of settled into whatever contentment they find themselves in, and actively being involved in the church is not really on their agenda right now. Okay? And so then ends up happening where the church as a whole ends up struggling because of that. Oh, I'm sorry, right?
One of the problems that I think people have is they make excuses. Mm-hmm. Making excuses doesn't get the job done. I think if a young Christian and was able to have all that energy and do all things that possible that I could do to help the church. But then by on Jefferson Street, we needed new carpet and air conditioning. But I was glad I was instrumental in helping getting that done. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, I've gotten older, I know I'm not able to do that anymore. The Lord did say, work while you're young. Mm-hmm. You know, and get an opportunity to do what you can for the Lord.
Yep.
Cut grass, whatever you need to do. Mm-hmm. And give. I had to learn early what it takes and what my wife and I did. We always been givers of our time and helping others. Mm-hmm. We used to go and get food baskets for those for the holidays and different things, and distribute them. We did all that. But now we're in a situation we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like you used to.
Right.
But we never was forsake, believing in forsaking the Lord, and not doing what he wants us to do,
right.
We have a responsibility to him.
Right.
I didn't know how long I was going to live. I didn't know that I was going to be in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he still allowed me to stay here for a reason. So I'm going to take advantage of that and do the things that whatever I can do, I'm going to try to do it.
Right.
But we can't make excuses because sometimes we're going to have to give an answer to the Lord. Why you didn't do this when you had the opportunity? I don't want to be in that situation.
Nope, not going to be a good situation.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, I look at, you know, I look at you and Betty, I look at Willie over here, and you guys that, you know, what you guys have to endure just to be able to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, you know, there are always times when, you know, something is happening with us and we just can't do what we need to do. We all understand that. But there are folks who just any excuse will work. Any excuse will do.
Yeah.
And you know, it's as I've mentioned before. You know, when I think about our brethren over in Ukraine, who are every first day of the week they are still worshiping in the midst of a war, they find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, people, you know, get up and they got a little sniffles or whatever, and I think I'm gonna stay home today. You know, and again, it's not just about the money; it's just about serving the church. It's about doing what we need to have done. And so, you know, those are things that we have to look at and try to, you know, look. Okay, so what do we need to do to really revive that pioneer spirit, okay? And you know, one of the things that happened in this country after everything was explored and everything was, you know, figured out and so forth, where did people in this country start looking to next?
Yes.
To space.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's just that attitude that says, okay, we've got this together, now let's see what's out there. And so, you know, you have Captain Kirk and all his crew boldly going where no man has gone before, right?
Yeah.
But it's that pioneer spirit. And so that's one of the things that kind of really keeps the momentum going. And so the writer of Hebrews recognizes that the Hebrew church at that time was really kind of at the monument stage. And that's why he's written some of these things that he's writing to them to encourage them. They had lost touch in a lot of ways with the pioneer of the movement, Jesus. That's why the writer spends so much time talking about who Jesus is, you say, to remind them of who he is and what he has done for them and so forth. What's happened is that first generation of Christians was, you know, they experienced a lot of that, and they were there, and they had that pioneer spirit, but now the second generation is coming in, and they don't have that same pioneer spirit, you see? And so then what ends up happening is they lose that spirit of adventure, of seeking. And then they get to the point where, as we've talked about previously in our study, where the Christians, the Hebrew Christians, were of kind of wanting some to go back to where they came from, go back to the law and Moses and Abraham and so forth. And that's why he's pointing the things out that he is saying, no, that's the wrong direction to go. You see? And trying to keep that pioneer spirit going. Let me see here. The Hebrew Christians had once been pioneers, Right? We looked at this text last week, but go back to it here, chapter 6, verse 4, and following here, okay? They left their old country of religious traditions and legalism, following this brave new pioneer, Jesus. Right? They had once been enlightened. They had tasted the heavenly gift. They had shared in the Holy Spirit. They tasted the goodness of the Word of God in the powers of the coming age. Right? Then look at verse 6, a word of caution. If you lose the pioneering spirit, it will be difficult, if not impossible, to get it back. Okay? Once you've had all of this, you say, you have that pioneer spirit and done all this, and then you lose it, it's really difficult to get that fire burning again and get going and moving again. They had been pioneers, but now they were content in their comfort zone of a settled land. And the writer of Hebrews is simply saying to them, get back to the frontier. Okay? Get back to the frontier. Get that frontier spirit back. See? And again, just for review, what are some of the characteristics of those who are pioneers? Think about folks like, you know, Lewis and Clark and, you know, Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and a lot of the folks that were the pioneers of this country. What were some of the characteristics of those pioneers?
They never quit searching.
Okay, they never stopped searching. And probably because one of those main characteristics was their curiosity, right? The desire to know, as I said earlier, what's on the other side of this mountain? What's on the other side of this huge forest area here? That peak over there, if we get to the top of that, what are we going to find? So there's always that curiosity that's there to find. And then what else, what other characteristics are there? Exactly. That's one of the things that pioneers did is they blazed the trail for those who would come after them. Okay? That's what we need to be doing for those who will come after us. That's what those who before us have done. Every single one of us in here, we belong to the Lord. Why? Because somebody came before us and blazed a trail and showed us where that trail was. You see? Somebody showed us how to get there. All right?
I'm following you on this, and this is good, deep stuff. I guess I'm having trouble with, okay, so what trails can Edgehill blaze? What is there for us in our condition? What can we do? Can we give each other lists of things that we'd like done that would help grow our faith? I think our biggest thing here is our encouragement.
Okay.
But after that, sometimes I notice there's some that I want to help or I want to pray with or do something, and they've got it all under control. They don't need help. And I feel like I'm missing on the blessing of helping.
Nobody
wants to get COVID or I don't know, whatever. But I'm just, what I need, because I'm a terrible gift giver. I admit that. And Chuck, tell me. But if you could give me a list of what can I do to help Edgehill grow? What can I do besides, I mean, I'm not saying that teaching others and talking about the gospel to others, but what can I do for us?
Well, I think that one of the things that needs to be done more by more people rather than just a few is to be contacting, sending notes, calling. Those of our church family here that are not coming. They're not here on a regular basis. And again, there are some, like Jean Dixon.
Right, you can.
You can still call her and encourage her, okay? But Jean can't physically come and be here with us.
Yeah.
But there are other people who can. And even if they can't, they still need to be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, but there's only but so many, you know, opportunities for, you know, a few of us to be continuing to contact folks. And you know, to be honest, when I contact a lot of people, it's kind of like a lot of people tend to look at it, well, that's your job. That's why you're calling me.
Right.
Okay? That's not my job. That's not why I'm doing it. But that's how some people tend to do it. But when they start getting phone calls and notes, just a short little note said, hey, I'm thinking about you, whatever. You know, we started doing that back a few years ago. We started this kind of, some of you remember the letter writing campaign we put together, and we're contacting you know, just to encourage people, let them know that they're missed and that we really, you know, we'd like for them to be here. So that's one thing you can do. Another part of it is, just as we've talked about, you know, over and over again, who are the people in your Jerusalem, you say, that don't know the Lord? You say, and you know, what are you doing to, you know, to contact them, to talk with them, and to see? Understanding that, you know, actually very few of the people that you contact are going to actually follow through and obey the gospel. But we still need to be doing it, you say? And so it's those kinds of things that we need to just be reaching out more and more. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not programs and things of that nature that really makes all the difference. Okay? It's contact from one another. Tracy?
I think for a lot of people, and even the young people, they feel like they're visitors. They don't know how to connect, so they visit till they get tired of visiting, and then they go away.
Yeah.
But even with the older people, if you contact them, not just to say we miss you, but we need you, and give them something to do to make them understand that they are needed,
right,
they're more likely to hopefully step up and, know, become involved instead of just coming to visit and go home.
Or, you know, invite them over for dinner or lunch or out to lunch or whatever. You know, just to, again, how to help people just to make that connection and so forth. Mm-hmm. Charlie?
And we cannot forget when you contact the people to bring them back in, you have to do that with love. Some people, your mouth cleans. We have to get it together.
Yeah.
We here have to get it together. When we contact people, you have to do it in love.
Right.
You can't be pointing fingers. You can't be, you know, no. And just a general conversation sometimes
is
a thing. I don't have to just come out, shoot God in, because you already know why I'm calling you.
Right.
You already know
why
I'm calling. So I don't have to shoot it at you
full
blast. You know, just a general conversation, like you said.
Yeah.
Kindness go a long way.
Yeah,
and all the time, we're not going to get people to come here at Edge Hill. We're not. But you plant a seed.
Right.
You know, and they might go to another congregation. They might go to another Church of Christ. But I'm planting that seed.
Right.
And I'm going to continue to do it. Because I'm watching you, Nan.
Yeah, keep watering it.
Yeah, I'm watching you, Nan, to see how you're growing. I don't want you to grow in the opposite direction, but we have to learn. And some older people, I don't know, we get older, we feel like we can talk to people in the kind of way we want to.
And that's
we do.
Yeah.
You know, I have to catch myself sometimes when I'm talking to younger people.
Yeah.
You got to go at people with love. Because what the world needs now, love.
Right.
Yeah.
That is song.
Yeah.
Patient. Caring.
Yeah.
You don't, in a lot of church people, don't do that. They go at you full force, both fists up, ready to fight with, no, God didn't ask you to fight with the word. Not like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Not like that. And I see that a lot, and that's why you're losing. That's why you can't get them back.
Yeah.
You got to know how to approach a person. This is something that I learn every day. People are different. You have to learn that person's ways. You have to know how to approach that person. Some people you might can approach with that force.
Yeah.
They like that. They want that fight. Some people like that, but some people know.
Yeah.
You go at them fighting, you lost them.
But, you know, I think a lot of it is just a matter of showing that you care about people,
right.
You know. And, you know, there are folks, you know, like Jerry and Jerry Lamb, you know, both dad and son, you know, that, you know, they just need a lot of encouragement. People like that. Alex and Nancy Randall, you know, folks like that, that, you know, here, but, you know. What do people have to look forward to when they come here for worship? See, that's an important way to really look at it. Do they have to look forward to being with their family, or do they just kind of look at it as I'm going to church? See,
there are a lot of people come to church because they have the attitude that I have to.
Mm-hmm.
When it should be, I want to.
Right.
You know, I'm devastated when I can't come here. And I will push myself because I don't just only get the spiritual food, but I'm with my brothers and sisters.
Right.
And you can't get that from a video.
Right. That's right.
And I've told people that. You know, you can't get what you get from a video and say it's the same as coming.
But why do you want to be here? That's really the question that we have to consider with people. Why do you want to be here?
It should be out of love. It should be out of love.
Why do you want to be here?
Exactly for that reason,
okay.
Because of love.
So you see, that's what I'm talking about, is that's what people need. They have to want to be here, but there has to be a reason for them to want to be here. Okay.
So I have a question on that.
All right.
And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but how can they get that if they don't stay? And I say that to mean the few minutes before service or after service. Because some of those names you've mentioned and even others, they don't come in time before. And I know there are some health concerns with some individuals that can't hang around, but you don't stay. So, you know, and a lot of y'all know, I was not a toucher. And people have told me years ago, because I will tell you, I don't like people. And someone even corrected me on that when they got here and said, it's amazing how you say that, but you're always talking to somebody or getting to know. So I didn't even realize, honestly, that I was doing it. But apparently a decade later, I was still doing it. And it was reminded, okay, Ma, you know, because she was telling me, and then somebody else came in. But needless to say, but you don't hang around.
Right.
So hang around.
Right.
So just the lambs. I only know their names. I have never had an opportunity to get a phone number. And you know me, I'm always like, hey, what's your name, your phone number, what's your date of birth? You know, I found out that their names are spelled differently than what I thought. And I had kind of jotted down on the attendance one day when I did it for Nancy. And that they live in Matoga. But other than that,
we need a name and address. They needed help with building his house. And I still don't know where they live.
Yeah.
You know, so I hear what you're saying. And, you know, sometimes you say you don't want to step on toes. My toes are stepped on. My heart is checked. But if folks don't hang around, they don't want to be connected. And I know what my Jerusalem is. And you know, I'm knocking on dead doors. And I feel like, at this point, forgive me, Father, for saying this in my life, I don't have the energy anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Brother Ray, do it while you're young. I still want to do it. But, you know, saying the same thing to the same people, and I know we can only, you say we can only plant the seed. It's up to them to take hold of it. But I know how important it is. I know that, forgive me what I said, I don't even know Brother Campbell that well. But I am happy to see Brother Campbell. I love to see Brother Campbell.
Yep.
You know, I can say I have a relationship with everyone in this building.
Right.
But if they don't hang around,
right. Well, let me say a couple of things about that. One is, we can't force people, you know, to do what they should be doing.
Right.
And there are always going to be those people that are they're going to come in just so they can have their card checked. You know, they come in at the end, they leave, you know, right as soon as it's over. I had Jerry a couple of weeks ago. There was some folks here that it was the lady that's the nurse, and I can't remember her name and her mom. The first time I saw her, and I told Jerry before, I said, you know, would you go back there? I said, we got some visitors back there, but I know the week before that they left as soon as service was over. I couldn't get back there to see them, okay? So I told Jerry, I said, there's two people back there. I said, would you go back and just talk to them before they get out the door, you see? You know, we could try and do some things like that. But the reality is, first of all, not everybody has the right attitude about their relationship with God. And we just have to accept that there are going to be people that are going to come in, they're going to do the worship thing, they're going to leave. They don't want to do any more than that. Okay? Well, there's nothing we can do about that. Okay? The second thing is that I've come to this realization over the last couple of years, and it's a struggle that I've come to, because as a minister I've been doing this for 39 years. I'm working on my 39th year, and I have always been one where, you know, somebody doesn't show up, I'm at their door to find out what's going on with them, but it's gotten to where it's the same people over and over and over again. You chuck them, you call them, you visit them, and it's the same thing. And I came to the realization a couple of years ago, I am not going to beg people to follow Jesus.
Right.
I'm not doing that. Okay? Jesus never begged anybody to follow him. He didn't compromise on the truth. And I'm not going to beg people to follow me. I think that cheapens Jesus. We got to beg people, and we got to, you know, do things to try to entice them, you know, and so forth. No. I'm not going to do that. But we can, as we have opportunity with people that are here, you know, even if there's somebody that at least, you know, if you see somebody that's a visitor, position yourself so as soon as service is over, before they get out the door, you introduce yourself to them, you know, and just ask them, you know, is there anything we can do, or, you know, anything like that, just to find out what is a little bit about them. Some of them will probably just kind of, I'm just check them out, and I'm out of here. They don't want to be bothered. But other people, what they're looking for is somebody that's going to show an interest in them, and that can make all the difference in the world. You don't know. My point is, you don't know unless you try it.
Right.
Okay. If you have somebody that's coming, and all they're doing, and we have some people like that. We have folks that show up here, and they come in right as we start worship, and they're out the door as soon as we're finished, or some of them even before we're finished. Okay. Again, I'm not going to beg people to follow Jesus. Okay? Comments?
I just wanted to say that we all ought to have a certain amount of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
A commitment is very important. When you have commitment, a lot of other things fall into place. I try to have commitment that I know. I know that it's very important when you have commitment, because when you have commitment, people have to have a certain amount of love for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a certain amount of love for the Lord. And commitment falls right in the category. I remember when I was working. When I was working shift work. I was an operator. I would try to make sure I would not work overtime on Sunday. That's the law day. Now, even though I was... But we could have a nice service. So I go there. or whatever way. If I work in the evening, I would go to work. I'd work in the morning, and that kind of thing. So it was nice. I work in the morning on evening shift, and then go to work. Them guys, some of them was living in the plant. You know, they didn't go to church, they didn't do anything. But I was committed to the Lord. I like to think I'm still committed to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just older, hopefully a little wiser, and a lot more understanding about what God wants. So I'm going to deal with that.
Okay, well, we are out of time. So let's stop right here. We will try to finish up chapter 6 next week and perhaps start talking about Melchizedek a little bit. All right? Thank you all very much.